Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
So he said, Wayne, you got to come to this movie. You got to see this movie. It was like he wanted to rent this theater for a special viewing. And he had about 0.5 seconds on the screen, running by the camera. Did you see it? Did you see it? No. What was it? Oh, I was ran by the film. They were run by the camera. Oh, that guy that just ran by, yeah, that was me! Like the side of his head. And he wanted to buy a bunch of DVDs of this movie because he thought the movie was about him. But sometimes we think about that with life. We think it's about us.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message we began yesterday entitled Taming the Tongue. We learned the importance of just keeping quiet. But if you can't stay silent, learn to find a lightning rod, a trusted brother or sister on whom you can vent. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Taming the Tongue.
By the way, listen, when you're at the office and your boss yells at you, be really careful because it'll escalate to your home. You can have your boss yell at you and then the husband gets all upset. And he goes home and yells at his wife. And the wife hits the son. The son kicks the daughter. The daughter pulls the hair off the dog. The dog bites the cat. And the cat bites the head off the doll. It just escalates. So if you get yelled at by your boss, just in silence, go home, bite the head off the doll. Because you saved your whole family. So my wife is, let me out of money, let me out of it. No, leave. Well, the next day I'm in the office and this guy calls me. Hey, Wayne, I'm so sorry. Last night, oh man, my head was so far out. I don't know what I was thinking. I just said something. We're so wrong. Oh, I said, no problem, Elwin. It's fine. Well, that next Sunday, my wife and I were standing in the church and this board member came by and I saw my wife look at him. I looked at her. I said, honey, what are you doing? She said, that's the guy that spoke bad about you. I said, oh, honey, no. He called the following day and apologized. Everything's fine. She looked at me and she said, you didn't tell me? Oh, sorry, I didn't tell you. She looked back at me and went, you have to be careful. So I kind of protect my wife from certain things. I work it out and then I come to her and say, honey, you know what this guy did? And let me tell you how God resolved it. Oh, great. And so she's still in the loop on what's happening in my life. But I kind of watch out. For some of you, your spouse may not be your primary lightning rod. Share with your spouse, but maybe more so from the victory side. And find someone that you can speak to so that you can pour out the chaff and the grain together. And with gentlest of hands, that one will sift the two, keep what's worth keeping, and blow the rest away. Then he or she will say, work with this. Lightning rod. It'll help you to control, maybe not tame, but control the tongue. So the first is, what was the first one again? Just silence. That's right. The second is find a lightning rod. And let me make that as an assignment that you would find a lightning rod. And then you say, but Wayne, what if it's just, I can't get one and I'm just blowing up on the inside. The lightning rod person that I usually talk to is on a trip. What do I do? Would you write down number three? Learn this. Learn to cry out to God in prayer. Learn to cry out to God. You know, one of the reasons I believe that we yell so much at people is because we so seldom cry out to God. I know when people have not learned to cry out to God because we yell at people a lot. We take it out on people. But if you learn to cry out to God, something is adjusted in your heart. Crying out to God isn't grumbling at God. It's not getting mad at God. It is finally coming to a point of surrender when you cry out to God. God, I can't swim anymore. I can't navigate this anymore. I am lost. I am done. And when God sees that you've come to the end of his rope, he starts. Because God won't begin if you refuse to end. See, the scripture says it this way. When I am weak, he is strong. When I am what? Here's what God said to me one time. You know, Wayne, the reason I can't be strong in your life is because you refuse to be weak. But when we cry out to God and we come to the end of our rope and say, Lord, I just don't want to do this anymore in my own strength, then God at that moment can open up the windows of heaven and the power of eternity is released on your behalf. Crying out to God. You see, the old patriarchs in the Old Testament do that. David cried out to God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore a right spirit within me. He'd cry out to God, Lord, my soul is in despair. Abraham cried out to God. Moses fell on his face and cried out to God, I surrender. It's a burning bush. God, I surrender. And God's power moved in at that point. Jeremiah, who was known as the weeping prophet, would cry out to God, and God would begin to move in powerful ways. And you even saw Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out to God, and God began to move on his behalf. Learn to cry out. In fact, let's read Psalm 107 and verse 6 together. Go. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Would you circle the word cried out and underline delivered? Deliverance comes after we cry out. Remember, often we end up yelling at people because we too seldom cry out to God. It was the voice of a mother for her daughter. And you'll hear the voice of a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, both crying out in these next two very poignant scriptures. Let's read them together. Go. A Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. You notice she wasn't passive. She wasn't just whatever. She cried out to God because she came to the end of her rope. And this next one, read it with me, go. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have... You see, on both of those instances, you'll see that it wasn't an anger at God. It wasn't a grumbling. It was, have mercy on me. It was a surrender of their life. I remember his name was Tim. He was about 50 years old, had a terrible life. And he was trying to take his life. He wasn't coming to our church. But someone called me and said, could you see this guy? He just tried to take his life. He took a bunch of pills, an overdose. They just pumped his stomach, but he's crying and he's angry. He's at the intensive care, the Hilo Hospital. So I went up there and talked to Tim and tried to give him some hope in Christ, but he didn't want to know do it, have anything to do with God. About 6 months later, they call me again, some of his friends. He's in the intensive care again. I said, what did he do this time? Listen to this. He drank Clorox. Well, they got him in time, so it didn't kill him. And I went up there, and he wasn't dead. But boy, I tell you, he bleached his insides out. Super clean stomach. Colon was pure. And so I tried to talk to him again about God. Didn't have anything to do with him. Didn't want to have anything to do. They let him go again 6 months later. Called me up. Wayne, he's in the intensive care again. I thought, oh no. What did he do this time? Tried to shoot his head off with a shotgun. I went up to the intensive care. He had shot himself, blew part of his head off, but he was still alive. And I said, Tim, what are you doing? He said, I don't want my life anymore. I'm done. I said, no, come on, you've got so much life to live. No, I don't want my life anymore. I'm just throwing it away. So I just got really exasperated. I just kind of heard the Lord say this to me. That's why I said it. I said, okay, throw your life away. Let me help you kill yourself the next time. He said, what? I said, yeah, I can help you kill yourself. What? Yep, I can help you completely get rid of your life. I'll help you. He said, like Dr. Kevorkian? I said, yep, kind of like that. He said, really? You're supposed to be a pastor. I said, but I'll help you get rid of your life if you want to get rid of your life. Because you're doing a bad botch up job on it. I can help you do it right. He said, you want me to throw away my life? I said, yep, but you can throw your life away. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. When you throw your life away, instead of throwing it in the dumpster that takes you to hell and the devil, why don't you throw it in a dumpster and give it to God? It's going to be thrown away anyway. It's leftovers anyway. So instead of throwing it to hell, why don't you throw it to God and let God do with it whatever he wants to? What do you think? Because you're going to throw your life away anyway, right? So just throw it away to God. Abandon it and let God do whatever he wants to with it. And it's no longer yours anymore. Give it to God completely. Whatever he says, it's God's from now on. He said, okay, I'll do that. Well, I prayed with him. He received Christ, abandoned his life and his ways of trying to make things work, gave his life to God. And he said, well, what do I do now? I said, God wants you to grow in him. Yeah, but I don't have the discipline. Ah, it's not your life anymore, remember? It belongs to God. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I want you to get up, do devotions with me. We began doing devotions. 2.5 years later, he became a missionary in Japan, and he's sharing Christ. You see, crying out to God is not complaining to God. Crying out to God isn't just abandoning God. It's abandoning your life. And when you give it to God, you realize that he has the power to use you in a phenomenal way. He provides the power. You just provide the yes. You provide the open heart. He takes care of the rest. Because see, sometimes we think this whole life is about us and God exists for us. But you're going to come to a point where you're going to run into a wall and you're going to cry out to God. And when you do, here's what God does. He just corrects your perspective. It ain't about you. See, because for a long time, we think it's about us. How cool we are. God, you exist for us. You're like a rabbit's foot. You bring me good luck. Come on, let's move. Get with it. And God, all of a sudden, bang, something happens in your life, your finances, your family, your health. And then you come to your knees and you cry out to God. It's not about me, is it, God? No. And he corrects your perspective. He corrects your eyeballs. Click, 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 click. And then you realize, it's not about me. Because when you think it's about you, everything is weird. I had a friend, you know, in Hawaii, we do a bunch of films here and we film different ones. And I can't remember if it was Wind Walker or something like that. But a friend of mine came to me and said, Wayne, I had a part in this film. I'm in this film. I said, really? Do you have a part? Yeah. It was an extra. And it was like a bunch of people running down the hill. All these Japanese people. It was a war or something. And he was one of 8 million Japanese. So he said, Wayne, you got to come to this movie. You got to see this movie. It was like he wanted to rent this theater for a special viewing. And he had about 0.5 seconds on the screen, running by the camera. And I was watching the thing. Did you see it? Did you see it? No. What was it? Oh, I was just ran by the film. They were run by the camera. Oh, that guy that just ran by. Yeah, that was me. It's like the side of his head. And he wanted to buy a bunch of DVDs of this movie because he thought the movie was about him. I thought, you dodo. But sometimes we think about that with life. We think it's about us. Let me rewind the film for you to see if it's about you. It was in the beginning of time, and God creates the heavens and the earth. And he speaks. It starts to move in perfect rotational orbit. Millions of tons of matter in a delicate, interwoven dance. Were you there? Oh, you weren't. Oh, sorry. And so God creates the heavens, and God creates, and then he breathes man, Adam, Eve. Were you? Wasn't you? No. It was Adam and Eve. And so God creates Adam and Eve. And then the patriarchs. He comes in with the prophets, Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel. Did you know? I don't think you were there, but and then the cross, Jesus Christ comes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Were you there? No. Well, sorry. I just thought you were there. And Jesus came to earth. Oh, this whole movie, it's not about me. It's about him. It's about Jesus Christ and how he came to redeem mankind. And so you look at this thing, and you and I have about a 1/2 second spot in it. But God did all of this to redeem people like you and me. But the movie's not about us. It's about Jesus and his glorious redemption plan. All glory and honor to God. But sometimes we have to come to a point where we cry out to God, and then click, click, we realize it's not about us. And then we're able to receive his grace rather than demand it. To understand what gratefulness is rather than feel entitled. And our hearts change. And now the power of God can begin to move on our behalf. It's crying out to God. That doesn't mean everything will get perfect after that, but you start your road back. Three simple ways to tame or control the tongue. The first is, what was it again? Silence. And the second is, find a lightning rod and then cry out to God. Don't be afraid of that. Go out into the cold house, roll the windows up in your car, cry out to God. It'll adjust your heart and it will release the power of God on your behalf, help you to control your tongue. As we conclude, as I said, I have two things, a gift for you as you go out today. Each one of you can grab one of these, and I'm going to challenge you to a 21-day commitment to put this MMBM wristband on you. You say, but I'm a businessman. I shouldn't wear one of these. You know, wear it. It will help you much more than anything you're wearing, like a tie or anything else. Just wear it, because it'll remind you to zip it when you need to zip it. I was in California, I was meeting with the president of a very noble institution. I had this on. I spoke to 4,000 or 5,000 people at our denomination's convention of our greatest national leaders. I had this on. I went to Nashville, spoke over there. I had this on. I only had 2 times people asking me questions about this. What is this about that you have on your arm, your wrist? And I was able to tell them about what I'm learning. And this is my third one on my wrist. You know why? Because both of the people that asked me what this was for, both when I was done explaining, they asked me if they could have it. So I gave it to them. It will help you immensely. So pick one up, just one each as you go out. Don't take a handful of them, but just take one each and put it on your wrist. Like I said, there's different colors, so you won't have to be worried about the fashion police coming after you. So please get one. 21 days. Let's all use it. So before our tongues run away with us and destroy our forests by fire, before you say something, stop. There's 2 scriptures on it. The first is, let each be quick to, slow to, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You'll see James 1:19. Others will have Ephesians 4:26. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your resolve it before bedtime. Well, you'll have those as you go out and grab one. The second is this. There's many of you here that may be here for first time or maybe after multiple times, but you have yet to open your heart, cry out to God, and come to the end of your rope, as it were, so that he can release his power on your behalf. If you've never received Jesus Christ before, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Very simple. You just need to say yes. God will provide the power. You provide the yes. He said, but Wayne, I'm 1,000 miles away from God. Jesus will take every step necessary to bridge that gap. He will take every step towards you except one, the last one. You take that step. The step is to say, yes, I need forgiveness. I need a second chance. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I want to give you that opportunity. It'll be the most eternal decision you will ever make. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you'd say, Wayne, that's me. I need to open my heart to Jesus because God knows I need forgiveness. Lord, I open my heart to you. Would you come, change me from the inside out, and make me the person you want me to be? If that's your prayer, I want you right now just to lift a hand. And in doing so, you're saying yes. Yep, okay, yeah. You're saying yes, yep, okay. You're saying yes to Jesus, okay? Yep, yeah, good. Okay, you can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received Christ, on your way out, there will be some ushers with a yes packet holding those yes packets above their heads. Please ask them for one. Could I have that, please? Could I get a yes packet from you, please? It's free of charge. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Grab one. You might be here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I've got no control over my tongue. I've been saying stuff that's been setting forests aflame. Lord Jesus, would you give me the power to control that with silence, finding a lightning rod, crying out to you, I do that now. Please help me. If that's you, would you raise a hand? Say, Lord, I need your help. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me as we close. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came. You died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me and make me the person you want me to be. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I cry out to you, dear God, change me, redeem me. Dear God, help me to control my tongue. Dear God. And now I say this so everyone can hear me, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for your redeeming grace on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our source of hope.
great day. Give somebody a hug on your way out. Would you do that?
You just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Taming the Tongue by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. For those of you in Eugene, we invite you to worship each Sunday at New Hope West on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene. Pastor Wayne will share a message that will strengthen you in your walk as you launch into a brand new week. That's New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon, Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, go to newhopewest.com. Until next time, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord. Christ alone.